This is The Comfort of This House, a Star Wars prequel trilogy, Star Wars original trilogy fanfic, written by Foxglade and read by Raina Jenkins. The story is rated G and contains the pairing Padme Amidala, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, with additional tags for poly parents, asexual character, non-linear narrative, alternate universe canon divergence, alternate universe everybody lives, nobody dies. Because we deserve more happy family AUs! Summary. 7 excerpts from a life where everything went right. Average, Anakin reflected, he'd probably woken up later during his days as a Padawan at the Jedi Temple. Come on, Dad! Leia complained as her brother enthusiastically shook Anakin's shoulder with his tiny hands. He still couldn't believe how small they were, even after 6 years. Ahsoka's waiting! And she told you to come get me, did she? He murmured. Padme, ever the light sleeper, shifted slightly closer to him, enough that he could feel her smiling against his chest. And Ben, too, Leia informed him with an air of superior knowledge. She was so much like Padme, and more than looks, although Padme herself was always quick to point out the ways in which she took after Anakin more. He's meditating, Luke added, settling down and then flopping over Anakin's shoulder, reaching over him to pat Padme's hair. He said to do it without him today. We don't have to do meditation later, right? If Obi-Wan says you do, then you do, Anakin said firmly. Sleep was definitely a lost cause now, as if sensing the thought. An impossibility in a Force null being, but sometimes Anakin wondered. Padme rolled away and sat up, tucking her nightgown back into immaculate place. Anakin sat up more slowly, with their son still hanging off him and their daughter now in his lap. Come on, Dad, Leia insisted again, tugging at his hand. Anakin glanced over at Padme and saw her smiling fondly at the scene. The same smile was surely on his own face. Kids, let me change into my training clothes first, he said gently, lifting first Leia, then Luke, off his body and onto the floor, where they gave identical bright grins before racing off, tripping over each other and calling out to Ahsoka. Padme gave a small laugh at their enthusiasm. To be young, she said, then laughed aloud again as Anakin pulled her into an embrace. You sound like Obi-Wan, he complained, and pressed a kiss to her cheek. Are you talking with Bail today? Her shoulder dropped. Later this morning, she confirmed, the relaxed atmosphere of the morning leaving abruptly. We tested the frequency earlier. It should be secure for now. I'll keep the kids out of the way, Anakin promised. He could feel himself becoming tense, agitated, just from the sudden tension. Maybe it would be best if he joined Obi-Wan in his meditation, rather than Ahsoka and the twins. If you go out and watch them now, they'll probably show off the new skills for you. He wondered if Padme knew he was including Ahsoka in that statement as well. I wonder who they get that from, Padme murmured, and she smiled as she did so.
She knew,
Anakin thought with satisfaction. She stood and stretched, then swept off to dress for the day, absently kissing him as she did so.
Tell Obi-Wan he's making breakfast today, she called over her shoulder.
Aye, General, Anakin called back with a salute, standing too. He could feel a warm, contented hum glowing across the bond, the kind Obi-Wan always gave off after interacting with the twins.
If he took advantage of it, maybe he could convince him to make those Stujon breakfast cakes again.
We just need a night off, Padme had said, tucking Leia more securely into Shmi's arms. She gave the younger woman a fond look, as if to remind her that she had, in fact, held children before. Of course, she said, her smile kind. Behind her, Luke gave another gentle tug on Qui-Gon's long hair, laughing at the exaggerated expression he made. You know I'm always happy to be around my grandchildren.
I know, Mom, Anakin said, strolling up beside Padme and putting a hand on her shoulder. Just call if anything happens, all right?
Shmi bounced Leia a little and rolled her eyes. If I could take care of you, Annie, I can take care of anything these twins throw at me.
And I can take care of anything they literally throw, Qui-Gon added.
Even at 8 months, the twins had been getting fairly proficient at using the Force to reach for toys just out of reach, or throwing food at each other.
Believe me, I'll take them any day of the week, as long as it's in the name of getting Obi-Wan to relax.
Anakin laughed, the brief spike of annoyance telling him that Obi-Wan had heard the remark from the other room.
I'll do my best.
All of you, do your best to relax, Shmi said. We'll see you tomorrow. A little before noon, perhaps?
She gave a knowledgeable smile, and Anakin groaned. We're not teenagers, Mom. I doubt we'll be hungover, he complained. But Shmi only laughed as she ushered Qui-Gon to the door, hitching up Leia in her arms to give a one-handed wave goodbye.
I thought they'd never leave, Anakin groaned, dropping his head onto Padme's shoulder. She patted his hair absently.
Be nice, she teased. They're your parents.
Only one of them is mine, he argued.
And one of them is mine, Obi-Wan interjected, slipping into the room.
Padme rolled her eyes.
Well, they're both mine then, she said. Deftly, she took the bottle of wine held loosely in Obi-Wan's hand by his side, waving it slightly.
And they're both gone.
Let's start relaxing, shall we?
Knew you were the smart one.
Padme laughed slightly when Anakin pressed a noisy kiss to her cheek on his way past her to the kitchen.
Obi-Wan rolled his eyes, but his lips quirked at the sight.
It would be a good night, she vowed silently as she followed Anakin, pouring the wine into three glasses and toasting with the two men she considered family.
One night, free from duty and stress.
One night to tide them over for the next few months.
This, Obi-Wan thought, was one of those situations where, if Anakin or Padme was here, he'd make a joke about not having any input into the decision to have children. But then again, if either of them were here, he wouldn't be. So the point was moot. Regardless, he still felt the childish need to tell the principal that it wasn't his fault, as the woman read the list of Luke and Leia's crimes. In the small seats next to him, the two in question sat sullenly.
Mr. Kenobi, the principal said after a moment of silence, I understand your reasoning for placing them in formal education rather than continuing with homeschooling, in regards to letting your children grow socially. But that will only happen if they allow it.
There was that same childish urge, this time insisting that they weren't his children. But that thought was easily subdued.
At this stage, it would be a lie anyway.
I understand, he said shortly,
I'm sure they just need a bit more time, he added. As if to spite him, he felt a familiar telltale whisper in the Force, somewhere in the back of his head, that was almost like overhearing a private conversation without being able to discern the words. Without looking over at them, he took a moment to give both the twins the mental equivalent of a light slap on the back of the head. They both startled slightly, then sat up straight, giving identical expressions of, "Yes, of course we're paying attention to the adults. Do go on." "Of all the traits to inherit from their father." "We pride ourselves on preparing students for further public service," the principal said, "and social bonds between students are an important part of that. It's admirable that they have such a strong bond, but..." "Too strong by half," Obi-Wan muttered, then said in a louder voice, "but they must foster friendships outside of one another, of course. I'll speak to them about it." The principal looked almost disproportionately relieved, and Obi-Wan made a mental note to send her a fruit basket at some point. The walk back to the speeder was silent for approximately 10 seconds. "I believe I've told you before that it's rude to talk across a Force bond in the presence of someone else outside dangerous situations," he said, making his voice as frosty as possible. "And you'll forgive me for thinking that we are, in fact, quite safe right now. Or have I missed some imminent danger?" Luke avoided his eyes, shrugging and hunching over slightly. But Leia stared directly at him. "We were just talking," she said defensively. "And you can do that out loud," Obi-Wan replied. "How do you think your mother would feel if I spent all my time talking with Anakin mentally? How would you feel?" "Left out," Luke muttered. Leia subtly tried to trip him, only to get kicked lightly in return. "We're just used to it." "Then get unused to it," Obi-Wan said firmly. "Talk to other people. Let them in. It won't kill you."
"It might," Leia said.
And whether it was an automatic stubborn response or a comment on their life of precarious peace and safety, Obi-Wan couldn't tell. She was sharp, even at the age of 9. "It won't," he replied. "Now come on, your mother is getting home later tonight, and I seem to recall a pair of promises to help me cook dinner." Although often missing one or two members, the family had always tried to find some time to spend together as a family. As it happened, this mostly occurred during Senate debate time, as broadcast on the Holonet for any who cared to watch. Although it was a live feed of galactic senators debating the very laws that the galaxy abided by, few chose to tune in. Padme Naberi, formerly Senator Amidala of Naboo, formerly Queen Amidala, was, of course, one of them. She hissed as the senator from a small mid-rim planet fired back at a much more prominent figure, causing another round of shouts to echo across the enormous chamber. "They're going to be pressed into a corner now," she said, sympathetic. Leia made a noise of agreement from where she was sitting on the floor, leaning back against Padme's legs. "Cordair's in the middle of their largest drought in a century, aren't they?" she asked, scratching a note onto her tablet. "No wonder they're frustrated. The dominant species there isn't that long-lived. It must seem like... like no one is willing to give them the help they need in the time frame they need it." Padme agreed. Leia hummed and wrote something else down. The two of them were watching with rapt attention, although the other occupants of the room were less enthusiastic. Luke was sprawled on his stomach closer to the holovid, running his fingers over a model starship he'd been working on, occasionally humming to himself. Anakin was sitting nearby with a small toolkit, holding a tiny screwdriver in his mouth as he fiddled with the inner mechanisms of his arm. When he'd pulled the panels open earlier in the evening, Obi-Wan had mildly scolded him, saying he'd get grease on the floor. But the man had long since fallen asleep on Padme's shoulder, breathing quietly and peacefully. The senators on the hollow still hadn't calmed down, and when Padme checked the time, she had to admit defeat. "It's almost over, and I doubt they'll get anything done in the last 5 minutes," she said. Leia rolled her eyes and muttered something. She was already so passionate about the state of the galaxy, and was planning on applying for a junior position at the palace soon. It was a somewhat lesser position than the one Padme had had when she was 14, but a part of her still ached to see her daughter determined to follow the same difficult path she'd taken. Of course, the rest of her was fiercely proud, and determined to support her in any way possible. Even if that support took the form of watching debate time together and discussing political gossip together. "Ugh, can't we even watch anything fun after that?" Luke complained, as Leia switched off the holo. "Dad, you said there was a doc on the new snub fighters." "No," Padme said firmly, as Anakin opened his mouth to reply. "You both have school tomorrow, and it's late enough as it is. See? Even Obi-Wan is asleep." As if to punctuate her point, Obi-Wan shifted on her shoulder and sighed in his sleep. "Yeah, because he's boring," Anakin said. Luke punched his knee lightly. "He's sensible," Padme corrected. "Go on, you two. Sleep." Leia rose and hugged Padme briefly, then went to the kitchen for a glass of water as Luke stood and stretched. He mumbled a goodnight to her and Anakin before making his way to his room, stopping briefly to let Leia catch up. Padme heard the start of a muted conversation before the door closed behind them. Anakin was stretching too, panels on his arm closed up once more. There was a slight grease smear on the floor where he'd been sitting. Padme decided to let Obi-Wan find it in the morning. At the thought, she jostled Obi-Wan, hoping to wake him, but he just muttered something and stayed firmly asleep. "Can you get him?" she asked Anakin, but he was already shaking the man's shoulder. "Come on, old man," he said, not without fondness, before hauling him upright and fitting an arm around his waist. Padme smothered a laugh at the somewhat bewildered expression that formed on Obi-Wan's face as he was forced into wakefulness. "What time is it?" he asked with a very rusty voice. He rubbed a hand over his eyes and then let it hover over the hand Anakin had on his waist, clearly deliberating on whether or not to slap it away, before simply patting it once. It was oddly endearing to watch. "Bed," she said, instead of anything else she could have. "Which is much more comfortable than my shoulder, I assure you." He didn't respond, but his ears went slightly red, and Anakin laughed. Padme had been gone for 3 days, and Anakin was beginning to think he may have been slightly overconfident in his estimation of how it would go. "Obi-Wan, can you just hold on," he said, as Leia spat her food out again. He picked up another spoonful and coaxed it into the 3-month-old's mouth, only for her to spit it out again. And not just a dribble, either. She spat it with force, although thankfully not with the force. "Obi-Wan, she likes you more. Can you make her..." "Only if we trade," he heard a voice say. And when he looked around, Leia's twin brother was being held at arm's length by a very disgruntled-looking Obi-Wan. "You know, I don't recall signing up for babysitting duties," he added. Anakin smirked. "Really?" he said, conversational, as he attempted to convince Leia that yes, the food would taste better this time, if she'd just keep it in her mouth for longer than 2 seconds. "Because I remember it. I think Padme said something like, 'Hey, Obi-Wan, I was wondering where you stood on the issue of attachments.' And then I said, 'Because we were talking it over, and the two of us would really like it if you...'" "Yes, all right, I do in fact remember that particular conversation," Obi-Wan interrupted. His ears were slightly red. "I suppose I asked for this, then."
Stinky diapers and fuzzy eaters?
Yes. Yes, you did.
He stood and reached out to take Luke from him. The boy squirmed slightly, throwing out chubby hands to grab at Obi-Wan again.
Look on the bright side. At least they both like you better than me.
My plan all along,
he said wryly,
but he looked fond as he tapped Luke's little fist with a finger,
before moving to take Anakin's place in front of Leia.
It had been a long time since Ahsoka had formally left his charge and the Jedi Order, and was now a young woman in her own right. And yet, most days, it felt like he'd never quite finished raising her.
It's training, she insisted, arms crossed defensively. What happened to you trusting me to be a great teacher, huh?
I trust you, Anakin said reluctantly. I don't trust them. Luke and Leia made identical offended noises, and he glared them into silence.
Listen, maybe just hold out for another year or so?
Dad, Leia complained. We already tried it this morning. I threw Luke all the way onto the roof.
It was fun, Luke added, slightly nervously.
He didn't look injured.
And I threw Leia into the Jopal tree, and she made it to the top branch.
Despite himself, Anakin was impressed.
Really?
He asked.
How much of that was the run and jump, and how much was your force push?
The twins' eyes lit up, and they began to talk over each other, both eager to explain in exact detail what they'd done. Anakin let the noise wash over him, exchanging amused looks with Ahsoka. She was radiating smugness, too, knowing she'd gotten off the hook. Luke was in the middle of demonstrating his force push with, hopefully, exaggerated motions, when Anakin held up a hand to quiet them both.
You're going well with this?
He asked.
The twins nodded frantically. And you only do it when Ahsoka's watching.
Another round of nods. He looked back at Ahsoka, who huffed.
Like I'm just gonna let them throw each other around, she said. I'm watching them, and I'm ready to catch them if something happens. I'm not you.
That was one time. He shook his head and fixed the twins with a stern look.
All right,
he said, then winced as the twins' excitement blasted through the Force.
But be sensible about this, okay? If only Obi-Wan were here to see him being a responsible master and parent. Although, on second thought, if you see Padme come out to check on you guys, maybe don't tell her you were throwing each other around. He said.
It was probably for the best that Obi-Wan was off-planet right now.
You got it, Sky Guy, Ahsoka said, before adding to the twins. This is a top-secret training mission now, okay? Fall in, Jedi Knights!
The twins leapt to her side, giggling at being called knights. Ahsoka sent him a small salute before herding them slightly further from the house. His first kid had turned out pretty well, he thought, as he headed back inside, intent on distracting Padme from the activities outside. And Obi-Wan and Padme had both had a hand in raising her as well, so surely the twins could only turn out even better. Anakin has certainly been gone longer than this on missions, even since they'd made a life for themselves outside of the Order. But never without communication. Padme glances at the chronometer again, drawing a breath to sigh, only to find Obi-Wan's hand on hers. He gives her a slightly strained smile.
He's nearly here, he says quietly, not taking his hand away. And he's uninjured.
He said that twice now, but still, Padme can't help but worry.
I'll feel better when I see him, she says eventually. Obi-Wan smiles, more naturally this time.
I wouldn't expect anything less,
he murmurs,
which he supposes is his way of agreeing.
And then, there, on the edge of her hearing, the sound of an engine.
of a starship settling down in the fields outside their house. They both stand, hands still joined, and glance at each other before wordlessly agreeing to stay where they are. A surprise, Padme thinks, because stars know there haven't been enough of those in the past few months. Not the good kind, anyway. It's a tense few minutes before, finally, Obi-Wan squeezes her hand. And then Anakin is stepping through the door. He looks haggard, worn and exhausted, but his face lights up at the sight of them like nothing else. He moves towards them, and a breathless laugh is forced out of her as his arms go around her waist, picking her up and spinning her before their lips meet. Not so much of a kiss as it is a simple reassurance. He slows to a standstill, and she realizes that she's automatically latched her legs around his waist, keeping her arms around his neck as he moves one hand from her hip to reach for Obi-Wan, who reaches right back. They lean into one another, Obi-Wan's hand clenching in the fabric of Anakin's tunic, and Anakin clutching the back of his neck. Their foreheads are touching, eyes closed, and Padme buries her face in her husband's neck, certain that she can feel and bask in the simple joy they're both emitting at their small family being back together. Yes, all their family.
Daddy!
The three of them break apart slightly at the sound of the children yelling in unison, and a moment later the six-year-old twins have attached themselves to Anakin's legs. He laughs, letting go of Obi-Wan and setting Padme back on her feet before scooping the children up in his arms, grinning at their delighted shrieks. "I'm home," he tells them quietly, and Padme feels like her heart could burst with how much she loves him at that moment. One look at Obi-Wan lets her know that he's feeling something similar. She lets the kids have their moment, and then says, "All right, it's very late, you two, and your father will still be here in the morning." Their plaintive cries make her bite her lip in an effort not to smile. "He needs his sleep too, you know," Obi-Wan adds gently. The twins both frown, then pull the identical expressions they get when they're concentrating in the Force. It's as endearing as it is uncanny, Padme thinks. "Oh," Luke says after a moment. "You're really tired, Daddy." Leia reaches up to poke at the bags under Anakin's eyes, garnering a slight wince. "That's right," he says, lowering them back to the floor. "So go on. I'll see you in the morning." The twins regretfully leave, mumbling their goodnights. And then it's just the three of them again, standing there as the exhaustion finally hits them all. "Sleep," Anakin says, slightly apologetic. "Sleep," Padme agrees firmly. Obi-Wan throws her a grateful look, as if she would have the energy to do anything in bed besides sleep right now. As if she would keep him out after how long Anakin's been away. They change into sleepwear quietly, separately. Anakin takes the opportunity to use the shower, bemoaning the fact that he's been without real water showers for over 2 weeks now. In his absence, Padme and Obi-Wan both fall into bed, gravitating together in a way that's become second nature in the weeks past. Indeed, it's natural enough that Padme almost falls asleep before she hears the water in the shower stop. After another minute, the bed dips, and Anakin crawls his way blindly up the bed, filling out where the two of them lie, and then collapsing himself in between them. "Really, Anakin?" Obi-Wan grumbles, but he just shifts to accommodate him, then wraps an arm around his waist. Padme curls in against Anakin's side, smiling against the bare skin of his chest when she feels his arm on her back, pulling her closer to him. She rests a hand on his stomach, fingertips brushing Obi-Wan's arm. And for the first time in weeks, she feels complete. The end. Smile when you feel the sunlight.
reader's notes.
I love it. I love it so much. I love the family bonding. I love Padme and Leia basically backseat driving their way through public access channel of the political sphere. I love that they're still involved in the rebellion and possibly, started the rebellion. I love seeing little Luke with his tiny model spaceship bonding with his dad's. I love it. I love that Ahsoka is Anakin's first kid. That gave me so many feelings because, you know, he was exactly responsible for a large portion of who she is. He raised her. If, you know, Obi-Wan raised him, then he raised Ahsoka. Anyway, besides, but for the cover art, this is some real art shit here. I used references from the Attack of the Clones promo for Obi-Wan and Padme and Anakin. For Luke and Leia, I stole the reference from somebody's pinboard of their children's Halloween costumes. I did not get a reference name for that, so I'm sorry, I drew over your children. And for the Ahsoka pose, I used a reference from a photo shoot that was by M. Blackburn Cosplay on the internet. So thank you for posing just like what I needed. I originally kind of wanted Ahsoka to be holding like a sign, like, our happy family, or something like, you know, very family portrait at picture people, but you know, the space version. But things didn't quite work out the way I wanted them to. So yeah, I basically paper dolled all of these people into standing next to each other and then traced over them on my phone. Quality art. Actually, for the best version of art, look at the second image in the iTunes file. That is the good shit. Also, I realized after recording this that my radiator came on a whole bunch during the recording, but I am not doing more work to fix this, so we will call it an artifact of the holocom transmission. Yeah. Definitely for setting atmosphere and not at all because my fucking radiator is fucking loud. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on this journey with me and finding this moment of joy in a galaxy full of sadness. Oh, okay, and this podcast was recorded as an ITBE 2019 gift for Bessie Boo, because this is your jam. Hopefully Rise of Skywalker has not put you off Star Wars entirely, because, you know, here's half an hour of Star Wars. Thank you everybody else for listening as well. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.